Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking of a long subject, the subject of what makes a true spiritual Christian home. What makes a home that God approves of, that God will bless and God will favor? What makes such a home? There are many, many aspects to this which we cannot consider. But I have chosen two aspects of this which I believe express what a Christian home is all about. We took a series of 10 messages just on the subject, what qualities should husbands and wives expect of each other. We also applied these same qualities to young people who want to get married someday, perhaps even have someone in mind that they're planning to marry. And we pointed out even to young people who are not yet married that these are qualities they should expect in their future marriage partner. And if so many of these qualities, or too many of these qualities, are not present, and they find that the other one is never likely to have any or many of these qualities in their lives, then perhaps it should give them pause about whether or not they would go ahead and marry that person. And we pointed this out especially for husband-wife relationships, that we as husbands and wives have a right to expect certain qualities in the person to whom we are married. And these qualities, if they're not always present, should be developed in the life of that person, as that person submits herself or himself to God. We point out that these are mutual expectations, and so these are very important. And then we have turned, in these past few messages, we have turned to the subject, what children should expect in their parents. Now, this is a subject sometimes we parents don't like to think about. In other words, we are more concerned with what we parents expect of the children. But the children have a right to expect certain things of us as parents. And we need to develop these qualities in our lives. We need to guard ourselves. We need to pray about these things in our lives as parents. And so we have been discussing this in these past few messages. Today, I want to talk about the subject of spiritual sensitivity. Spiritual sensitivity concerning our children. I'm taking the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And I want to read this passage. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I made you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. I want to begin with verse 4 now. Out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you, with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye should know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Verse 5. If any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. And then verses 6 and 7. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Therefore I beseech you, that you would confirm your love toward him. Now we're discussing the subject of sensitivity. There had been a discipline problem in the Corinthian church. We read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A man had grievously sinned against God by immorality. He had committed a sin against his own father's wife, and he had taken this wife in an immoral way. And now this man had to be disciplined by the church. It was very necessary that this person be disciplined by the church. But now in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this man apparently has repented. And now they are to have a sensitive attitude toward him. Of course, the idea was that even when he had to be disciplined and had to leave the church, this man was still to be loved and tenderly followed with prayer and concern. But now the man has repented, and now they are to show their deep love and sensitivity toward this man. They're to restore this man. Over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, he speaks of a man overtaken in a fault. And the command there is, restore such a one in a spirit of love. In other words, be very sensitive toward this person. Now, I want to apply this, especially this whole subject, to the way we deal with our children. Parents need to have spiritual sensitivity towards their children. I believe, of course, in the husband-wife relationship, we need to have deep sensitivity. Sometimes in the way husbands and wives talk to each other, the way they talk about each other to other people, does not express much sensitivity towards the feelings of that person. Sometimes when people are sharing things with each other, husband and wife are sharing things with each other, they're not sensitive concerning the feelings of the person, concerning the opinions of the person, concerning the ideas that the other person might have. Some people are characterized by this. They have insensitivity towards other people. They easily offend them with word or with action or with some expression of their own personalities. They easily offend people they meet. They can offend almost anyone, not only their own spouse. They can offend friends. They can offend fellow members of the church. This is characteristic of them, the way they offend other people. And this is true, of course, in the way we treat our children. We need to be very, very sensitive. Children have their own feelings. For instance, I mentioned in a previous message that I would never openly rebuke or punish a child in front of the other children. Now, why is this? Of course, if a child has offended the entire family, then it must be made right before the entire family. But when the offense is not against the entire family, I made it a point in raising 4 children, I would never rebuke them or punish them in front of the other children. And why is this? Because I'm trying to be careful about the feelings of the person I'm having to punish or rebuke. In other words, they have their own feelings, and I would never purposely humiliate or embarrass them in front of others. Teachers in a school, and this is true in a Christian school, have to be very sensitive about the way they rebuke their children, even in class. And the idea of not embarrassing a student before the other students. I've been a teacher for some 49 years, teaching mainly on the Bible school and the college level. But I've also taught many, many times in classes of primary students and high school students. Sometimes the students are not very attentive in class. Sometimes the students may even talk or laugh in class. And sometimes there is a need to quiet things down a bit. But I have learned to be very sensitive concerning their feelings. In other words, I will never purposely embarrass a student in front of the other students. So I think in every relationship of life, we are seeking to be careful about being sensitive to the feelings of people and to the way they might be affected by the way we talk or the way we act toward them. And so I applied this to my discipline of children. But it's true in everything else as well, that we never make fun of a child in front of the other children, or even make fun of a child in any way, whether or not they're with the other children. We don't mock children. We don't make fun of them. Sometimes we laugh with them, but we don't laugh at them. And this is very important for our parents. Some parents enjoy doing this. And some children, of course, enjoy doing this with their brothers and sisters, embarrassing them, making fun of them in some way. We have to train our children to be sensitive. Not only that we as parents are sensitive, but we train our children to be sensitive. And that is that you don't hurt the feelings of another person. And many times a child remembers this years afterwards, the way a parent publicly embarrassed them in front of somebody else. I would never embarrass my wife in front of other people. I have been in places where speakers would speak something in a negative way about their wives. You don't do this. You don't treat your wife this way. You don't joke about your wife to friends or to acquaintances or to church members. You don't do this with people. And this is also, of course, true with children. These children, their dignity, their respect is upheld. And you respect their feelings and their personalities and everything. Their dignity is upheld. And a child has a right to expect this of the parent, that the parent will respect their dignity. Now, I want to say a couple of things, a couple of suggestions for those of you who are parents and who have children, and you're trying to raise these children with self-esteem and self-confidence. Now, some people don't believe in this. You know, they believe in breaking down these things, but I do believe in this. I believe in a spiritual way a child is to have self-confidence. For instance, when I was very young, I was extremely, extremely shy. But I had a mother who was very sensitive to me, very sensitive to my feelings. And this mother constantly was building me up. In other words, helping me to believe that because God had called me to His ministry, to His service, that God would prepare me. She helped me to get into speech and debate in high school. She encouraged me in what I would do. Sometimes I would be asked to give little short messages in a church. Not that I would give a complete message, but on Youth Sunday I would be asked to give complete, and my mother would help me prepare it. And then she would commend me. She would never find fault with me. She would try to build me up in every way. In other words, my mother was sensitive to my needs and to my feelings. And I look back with great thanksgiving. My mother is now in heaven with the Lord. But I look back with great thanksgiving to a mother who so deeply cared that she built me up. She would not criticize me. She would not tear me down. But she would build me up, my confidence. And I think this is how I somehow achieved success in speech and debate. I remember when I went to the National Student Congress there in the United States of the National Forensic League. This goes back now nearly 60 years. But I remember when I was sent to the National Student Congress, I look back with thanks to a mother who so deeply cared and who was so sensitive to my needs and to my lacks, because I had been painfully shy. And then God brought me out of it, and with the help of parents who deeply cared. So in every way, we seek to be sensitive to the needs of our children. And the children know that we're sensitive. They know that they can depend upon us to be very, very sensitive to their feelings. So when the child is going through something, even though the child's attitude may not be correct, or his conclusions may not be correct, we are sensitive in the way we show the child the right way. In other words, a child may be too easily offended by something. Something offends him at school, and he comes home with this offense very much on his heart. Even in a very sensitive way, we show the child how he could better look at this, or how his attitude perhaps could be better, or perhaps how he deserved what he got. But we do it in a very, very sensitive way. I've just tried to suggest several things to you today, but I trust that God will develop in each of us, as fathers and mothers, a spirit of sensitivity towards other people, towards each other as husband and wife, towards our children. And then, because God is developing this sensitivity in us towards other people as well, people outside our home, this sensitivity that we care about the way we speak to them, about the way they perceive how we feel about them and everything. May the Lord help you to be very sensitive parents and very sensitive Christians in your walk with your children, with each other, and with outsiders. May the Lord bless you, each one.